Hi, Jordan with you. As you know, the discussion recently on the healthcare debate has centered on a lot of dramatic issues. There's nothing more dramatic than how people end their existence on this planet and how life ends for any of us. And when it comes to families and the pressure and stress that you're under when you're faced with the ultimate decision that you're making for a loved one or that a loved one is making for him or herself, there's nothing more pertinent, more important, and more touching and more difficult. That's why we go to the experts. Dr. Stanley Terman is one such expert. He is, along with several other people in the field, talking about the transitions that we make, allowing the natural death to occur. And these are difficult issues, as mentioned, but we're going to make it somewhat clearer for you. There's a new book that he's written called Peaceful Transitions, An Ironclad Strategy to Die How and When You Want. So, Dr. Terman, welcome to the program. Great to have you here, first of all.
Thanks for having me.
This must be a very busy time because front and center of our talk tonight is the debate on healthcare and the issue of the, quote, death panels, whether they're, you know, being exaggerated or not. People are concerned with how we end. And are you surprised that there's this much excitement, if you will, over the issue?
Well, there's a real question as to whether we can, in America, pay for every medical treatment that every person wants. And the word rationing or ration does not appear in the over 1,000-page bill that's been the subject of debate in Congress. The Palin's, Sarah Palin's concept of a death panel is an extrapolation or misinterpretation that most people that I agree with find to be alarming as a misrepresentation. But doctors do have influence over patients. All the law would have done, if it were to become, the bill were to become law, would be to pay physicians for their time to consult once every 5 years with patients about what wishes they have for their end-of-life treatment, and to get those into a form that can be transmitted to their loved ones so they don't have the guilt, the conflict, the angst of making the decisions when those difficult times come.
My guest, Dr. Stanley Terman, heads Peaceful Transitions and Caring Advocates, two organizations that are designed to help both professionals and lay people deal with these very, very difficult issues. And I know you've worked in the field of hospice, which, by the way, there are no greater angels on earth than people in hospice who do this kind of thing. But it seems as though these are issues that a lot of Americans have thought about and have fought for in terms of their ability to make decisions. What scares some Americans, many Americans, is any kind of bureaucratic input. And I think that's probably where politics and hyperbole have gotten mixed up here. But would you sense that that's the way most Americans feel? Hey, this is my deal. I'll work with my doctor, but I don't want anybody from any kind of bureau or institution getting involved.
Well, it's ironic that the bill that's proposed allows patients to discuss with their physicians, who are most knowledgeable about their medical history, what exactly they do or do not want at the end of life. It's just ridiculous to say, get the government out of my Medicare. And in fact, my experience and most people's is that there's much more intrusion from private insurance companies, HMOs, denying care than there is with Medicare. So I think they did a survey of people who about their experience prior to and after they turned 65 and qualified Medicare, it's much easier to select a doctor. It's much easier to get the treatment that you want. But in terms of the focus that I have been specializing in, which is advanced dementia, it's really the closet within the closet. People don't want to talk about Alzheimer's disease, and they certainly don't want to talk about the horrible, cruel, prolonged dying that can occur in the end stage of this disease. And I'm all for really intense research to try to find a cure or prevention or much better drugs, because the drugs we have are not all that effective, to slow down the progression of the disease. But what we also need to focus on is how long does one need to exist when their personhood has really left, and only is what is left is a shell of a body. that former person.
You are so correct in terms of the impact of this disease. And I was reading some statistics, and you're much more versed in this than I would ever be, but the alarming rate of growth, because our population is aging and there are so many more older Americans, we are seeing just, I don't want to say skyrocketing, but quite an increase in various dementias, including Alzheimer's, which then poses the question, you know, how do we prepare for this? I know it's one of the questions you deal with.
We're not preparing. We're not even thinking about it. We're talking about current expenses for health care that are out of control. We're not even beginning to think about long-term care. And there are so many misconceptions out there. For example, most people believe that Medicare will pay for nursing home stays. They don't. They pay all but $124, which is your bill, for the first 100 days, and after that, nothing. And a good nursing home can cost over $100,000 a year for someone in advanced dementia.
Which is why a lot of people are shocked when they realize they're going to lose everything. Their family is going to lose everything when an elderly person is in a nursing home like that.
Absolutely everything.
Yep, yep.
You spend down till you qualify for Medicaid, and for the people in the middle class, Medicaid is not insurance, it's a loan, because when the second spouse dies, they take your house.
Indeed. We're talking with Dr. Stanley Terman, Ph.D. and M.D., and the author of Peaceful Transitions, An Ironclad Strategy to Die How and When You Want. Now, this is controversial in the way it sounds, but I want you to explain about the natural death and what it means to keep the person from living any longer by holding off feeding and supplying nutrients to the body. Is that, I'm not saying it as well as you can, but please tell us what you mean by natural death.
Absolutely. A natural dying is one in which you accept the fact that if the patient can no longer remember how to swallow, no longer knows what food and fluid are, you place a bowl with a spoon of in front of them and it has puree in it, or a bottle with some straw. They have no idea what to do with these things, but they can still swallow if you put the food at the very tip of the back of their tongue by reflex. To me, that's not natural. To me, that's borderline force feeding. To me, that is something I would not want if I were in the stage of advanced dementia. So natural dying is to say, if I meet certain criteria, for instance, I don't know who I am anymore. I can't remember anything. I don't have any. I haven't spoken. I don't have any vocabulary. I need total care and so on. I have 47 symptoms that I've outlined that people can take a look at on my website. Then I no longer want to be kept in existence by the skilled aides providing me with food and fluid. I want that to stop. I want the most excellent comfort care that I can get in every sense, which includes especially comfort care to the mouth. And I have another little website called thirstcontrol.com that explains some of the most effective agents for that, so that it really is comfortable and peaceful. And no other life-sustaining treatments will be offered. And if necessary, I am accepting of sedation to unconsciousness if there's no other way to treat my symptoms.
Now, in the case of Terry Schiavo, which was the case of a few years back, that was tricky because she had ended up as a young lady in this position, and there was still questions as to whether or not she had any kind of working inner knowledge of where she was. So, and she would somebody who doesn't have a chance to plan, what do you do then?
Very good question. I have a new product called the My Way Cards. The My Way Cards are those list of 47 symptoms, unwanted behaviors, loss of function, and conflicts with your long-term lifelong values. And you can sort them into yes and no, please consider, or please do not consider when that time comes. Well, what if someone has not done this ahead of time? Well, then I would get all the concerned people, the loved ones, the closest friends, maybe the minister or rabbi, it's close to the person as well, and they can all sort these cards and see if they can reach a consensus of agreement as to first choice. We can really guess with a high degree of consensus what this patient would have wanted if they were lucid right now, if they could see the kind of situation that they're in currently and know what their prognosis is. Second choice is to what is in their best interest. So that's a way to decide when a patient has not left prior instructions.
Yeah, and as you point out, you call it comfort care, which is an appropriate term. If comfort care, the way you define it, is provided, then in the case of anyone, whether they've agreed to it ahead of time or not, the fasting from food and fluids can be peaceful, you say?
It really is peaceful, and I can tell you that from personal experience, because I did not want to put myself in a position of recommending something to other people that I hadn't tried myself. Of course, I didn't fast till the final termination of my life, but I did for 4 days of all food and fluid, and then another 5-day period where I stopped food for 2 days, and then I stopped all food and fluid for the next 3, and I made a videotape of that called Fasting, and it's on YouTube and elsewhere.
You know, as we go forward here, it's interesting. I've talked, and we all have family members who have passed, and in cases of severe disease or age, it's almost universal that they've passed with a sense of gratitude, if you can say that, that it's enough, time to leave, time to end this. And yet when we talk about it as healthy people, it's, well, human nature. It's the last thing in the world we want to face up to or deal with. I mean, you're a psychiatrist. You know this. You're also a human being. It's the kind of thing that's very difficult for healthy, vital people to ever want to face.
Right. How do you get over the denial, the reluctance to talk about something that is as unpleasant as this? And I think that we have to look at what's positive about it. What's positive about it is that you can save yourself a prolonged, enduring, of burdensome medical interventions because, really, you know, the first rule, do no harm. We're just learning that the people who are in advanced dementia often have unrecognized pain and suffering. And because it's unrecognized, it's undertreated. And so if we want to save ourselves from that kind of burdensome existence, then we have to plan ahead. So we have two people, sets of people, who will really benefit from our planning. Our loved ones, which we talked about, and ourselves. And then once we've done it, then we can put it aside, rest easy, don't have that anxiety anymore. And you know what's ironic is that the freedom to choose when we die can and often does lead to our living longer because we don't have to have premature dying, we don't have to have illegal dying, and we don't have to ask someone else to help us die. Will you just say, okay, when the time comes, stop food and fluid, treat my mouth, give me all the comfort care that I need, and I can die peacefully.
Stanley Terman, Dr. Stanley Terman, thank you. And by the way, I want to mention one very good website, which will take you to many others, is caringadvocates.org, caringadvocates.org. The new book is Peaceful Transitions by Dr. Stanley Terman, who specializes in this and many other areas. But listen, if it weren't for people like you who really focus on this, I don't know what people would do. We need to turn to not just experts, but caring people, and I really appreciate you taking the time. This is a bitter debate and a tough one, but one worth having and one worth discussing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jordan, very much.